As we jump into this series on relationships, I want to share with you a story from my childhood. One of my best friends growing up, his name was Brian, my first best friend. We had this tradition for his birthday from, I think, when I was about 6 or 7, that we would just go over to his house and that we would play board games and video games and games outside if the weather was nice. His birthday was in November. Sometimes the weather was nice, sometimes it wasn't. And then we would have homemade pizza for dinner every year. And there was mushrooms on there. I still to this day can't eat them. And my mom always taught me about trying not to be picky, so I would force those down. It was still a great memory. It still is a great memory, in spite of my disdain for those nasty things. But then we would, have birthday cake and ice cream, and we would play more games and stay up late talking and laughing and telling jokes and stories. We would bring our sleeping bags, sleep on the floor down by their wood-burning stove. How many of you guys have experienced that greatness there? But it would always, about 3 a.m, would just get suffocatingly hot down there. But it's just tradition, and we loved it. And then we would wake up in the morning and have French toast together, and that was kind of our tradition. It was just a great time with him and a great memory for me as his friend. And I kind of wish, I don't know about you, but I kind of wish that those good childhood memories would just transfer into all of our relationships. We're just good things all the time in relationships. And unfortunately, that's not what always happens. And there are things that come up in our relationships. And in this series, we want to talk about what Jesus taught and what we can learn from God's word on the subject of relationships. Because we all have relationships, and we're all affected by them in good ways and in bad. You may be here this morning in a relationship that's sinking really fast. Maybe you're in a relationship with God, or maybe your relationship with God is not where it should be. You might be here this morning and have experienced the loss of a valued friendship or relationship. Maybe you're dealing with a friend, maybe you're dealing with friend drama, or tension with a coworker, or a teacher, or a coach, or maybe your marriage is on the rocks and you're concerned about that relationship. Or perhaps you're one of the small percentage of people that have zero relationship problems right now. And for that, I say praise God, that's great. But wherever you find yourself this morning relative to relationships, I want all of us to consider the question of how we can move toward healthy relationships. And as I was sharing with someone else, that was giving me a hard time about being the third stringer to come in and preach, I just said, this is a really personal message. Not that any of my previous messages or future messages won't be personal, but these are things that are really, that I've been thinking about and dealing with in my own life. And so I'm preaching this to myself as I do all the time, but especially on this one. God created us to be in relationship both with him and with others. And he gives us an example of the perfect relationship that is presented to us in the eternal Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God loves relationships and he wants healthy relationships for us. So I want to begin today by looking at the fourth book of the New Testament, John chapter 15. And we're going to go through various passages and verses. And my friend Dawson back there, he took the audible this morning. So as far as getting all those notes up there, I think we should give him a hand for his hard work on getting that stuff done. So he had all that stuff already done. He's like, I'm done. And I said, well, that's actually Sheila's message. And I apologize, those of you that normally follow along in the YouVersion app, we just aren't able to get those notes up, so you're going to have to do the old-fashioned way, and there should be pens in the rows for you. So John chapter 15, verses 12 through 15, and Jesus is teaching in this chapter about what it looks like to live a life devoted to God. He says this in verse 12, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends." You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Here, Jesus is teaching us to love others because he loves us. That is great relationship advice. In fact, I think we should end on that, right? Should we just end and go home? Because we are to love others because God loved us. If we can live that out perfectly, we're going to be good when it comes to relationships. But Jesus goes on to unpack what that looks like a little more. Jesus says in order to maintain a relationship with him, we must listen and do what he says. So the first way that we can have healthy relationships, or the first principle for healthy relationships, is make God's word the foundation of your life. Make God's word the foundation of your life. About a year ago, my wife Jennifer and I had been having a conversation about kind of a state of the family situation. We were just trying to figure out, how are we doing as parents? How are we leading them? And we had a conversation about wanting to connect better with our family, with our kids, and connect them with God better. And our family's schedule, like most of you, is just chaotic, to say the least. And so we had been kind of doing, just kind of whenever it worked, we would kind of read the Bible together, or we would do a God time card or a devotional. But we finally intentionally made the decision that we're going to do devotions, and we're going to do them in the morning. And that was pleasing to, I think, two out of the six of us. And I'll let you decide which other one other than me wasn't super excited about doing a morning devotion. But at the beginning, and so we had been doing those pretty regularly, and we trying to do it during the school week. And at the beginning of this year, we had a conversation about, and I just brought up, and I just said, hey, when is your personal time? I said to our 14-year-old, not 13-year-old, which I said first service, but 14-year-old daughter. And through that conversation, all of a sudden, Jennifer, my wife, turned the question towards me. And I was like, wait a second, I'm the one asking the questions here. You can't turn that question towards me. And what happened because of that was some conviction, because I had been, because I'm a pastor, I'm always, kind of preparing for that next thing, so I'm always technically in the Word of God, but I had kind of slid a bit away from doing those during my personal time. I was on the clock studying the Bible, so I kind of justified, not consciously, but I think just in my actions and my, what I was doing, that, I'm studying the Bible. And I was convicted of that. And so at the beginning of this year, I really made an intentional effort to, outside of this time, to really study God's word. It has been so good. It's been so good for me. And because the tendency is for all of us to slide away from God and away from doing what he wants us to do. That's our tendency if we don't make it intentional. Jesus said that when we listen to his teaching and do what it says, it's necessary for our relationship with him. And as I often say this, and I know that I've said it here before, but when our relationship this way is good, our relationship this way can be good. It's not a guarantee, but it gives a much better percentage possibility that those relationships are going to be good. The great Old Testament King David wrote in Psalms 119:11, "Your word have I hidden in my heart that I won't sin against you." And oftentimes upstairs in our LH Kids area where I normally am, I use that verse to talk to kids about memorization. And hear me though when I say this, that I don't think that memorization is a kid's thing, especially when it comes to the Bible. I know a lot of adults that know a lot of things about a lot of things, and they are great at memorizing, including myself, but we need to be memorizing God's word as well. But I think there's a deeper question as well. Do you think about what you hear on a Sunday morning or during your personal devotion time, and do you wrestle with it through the week? Do you consider it? Do you think about it, meditate on it? Because we're not just meant to read the Bible just to read the Bible, or we're not just meant to go to church just so we can put in our time at church so we can go about the rest of our lives. No, we are to engage God's word with us throughout the day, as we work, as we go to school, and even as we play, and see how God will help us to live for him and to recognize and run away from sin. Yes, even sins that creep up in our relationships. Relationship sins like telling little white lies to our family that, it's not exactly how it went down, but it's okay, it's just a white lie. Or maybe watching the big game or Netflix instead of helping around the house like you said you would. Or spreading or even listening to gossip about coworkers or about other students, or choosing to follow your heart instead of following what God says in his word. Or maybe looking for an argument or a fight like we often do. You know those relationships you have where you're just looking for them to say something wrong so you can pounce? I know that situation, unfortunately. Or other seemingly small and yet major relationship paper cut sins. If you want to have a healthy relationship with God and others, be in his word daily. Think about what it says. Meditate on it. Engage it with your heart. And perhaps even memorize it throughout the day or the week. Write a verse down on a recipe card and put it somewhere where you're going to see it every day so you can just keep thinking about it and processing through. For me, that would be the refrigerator door, because that's where I go a lot of times. Maybe put a verse on your lock screen on your phones. We're always looking at our phones. Wouldn't it be great if you had a verse that maybe I spoke about today or that you've been reading lately that just reminded you, oh yeah, that's something I need to be reminded of. Keep his word in front of you. And not only should we hide God's word in our heart and keep it in front of us, but we have to do what it says. And many of you are familiar with the parable of the wise and the foolish builder, the parable that Jesus told to help us think about the idea that Jesus didn't want them to just listen to him and agree with him and nod our heads with him. But we had to put it into practice. We have to put God's word into practice too. And I love the way that the Message paraphrase or translation puts it. This is from Luke chapter 6, verses 46 through 49. And this is Jesus speaking. "Why are you so polite with me, always saying, 'Yes, sir,' and 'Yeah, that's right, sir,' but never doing a thing I tell you? These words I speak to you are not mere additions to your life, homeowner improvements to your standard of living. They are foundation words, words to build a life on. If you work the words into your life, you are like a smart carpenter who dug deep and laid the foundation of his house on bedrock. When the river burst its banks and crashed against the house, nothing could shake it. It was built to last. But if you just use my words in Bible studies and don't work them into your life, you are like a dumb carpenter," I resonate with that phrase, "who built a house but skipped the foundation. When the swollen river came crashing in, it collapsed like a house of cards. It was a total loss." If we want to truly learn how to have healthy relationships, we must build our foundation on the Word of God. And we must put those words into action. How we treat our families, how we serve our friends, how we react to our significant other, how we love others, even how we respond to our enemies or people that don't like us very well. I'd really encourage you, if you're not currently doing this, start reading the Bible regularly. Be intentional about it. Maybe get the Bible app if that's helpful for you. I found personally that there's so many notifications going on my phone that sometimes it's not a good idea. I just have to turn that off and grab the paper Bible. But right now, if you're looking for something or a plan to do, they have all sorts of plans on there. I'm going through the Bible Project. the Old Testament in a year. And so if that's something that maybe would interest you, you should just, all you have to do is go to plans and search and type in Bible Project and it'll pop up. Maybe find yourself a paper devotional at, we have a Christian bookstore right here in town for, you can find those for about $10, or you can go on Amazon. Something that walks you through the Bible. Because healthy relationships are grounded in God's word. Feed from it. Nourish your relationships from the word of God. The second principle we can learn from the Bible when it comes to healthy relationships is we must learn to be humble and forgive. Be humble and forgive. Recently, Jennifer and I found ourselves in a stressful situation that we didn't want to be in. It was one of those things where you look at the calendar and all of a sudden you're like, no, that's not today or that's not this weekend. And yep, it was. And as if you were not busy enough, all of a sudden you're in this situation where you're just not happy about it. Have you been in those situations before? And without thinking, we lashed out at each other. There was just something that went on that caused a little disagreement, which turned into a bigger thing, which turned into a bigger thing. And all of a sudden, we were just zinging each other back and forth. And I'm not proud to share that, but I want you to know that it happens for us too. It's hard. And sometimes you know the buttons that you can push of the other person, and you can get pretty good at it when after you're with someone for a while, right? And we kind of, stopped because we had dug in our heels and we're like, no, I'm not moving. I mean, it was really, really ridiculous what we were doing. And we went back to our tasks that we needed to take care of, just kind of stewing, you know. And finally, my more sensitive and more intelligent, and she's right there, so, and all the other really great things to say about you, she came over and said, we might want to take a step back and just look at ourselves. And we did, and what we saw was probably worse than our 4 and 6-year-old boys fighting over, you know, Hot Wheels cars. As ridiculous as that can be to us, we were way more ridiculous because we knew better. And there was nothing else to do but to laugh at ourselves, embarrassed at the silliness of what we had been saying and how we had been acting. See, it had taken humility on Jennifer's part because I was dug in. I was like, well, I'm not going to say anything until she says, you know, and it was just one of those things that she was the better person in that situation. Healthy relationships take humility and lots of forgiveness. Jesus' life teaches us that humility will always come before forgiveness. As the Apostle Paul writes in Philippians chapter 2, beginning at verse 3, he says, be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges, and he took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Jesus gave us the perfect model for healthy relationships here. He humbled himself and willingly gave up his life to serve his Father and offered himself in our place to bring the possibility of forgiveness for us. I mean, Jesus could have said, well, they're down there. They can stay down there because I'm not going to stoop down to their level. I mean, they're the ones that got themselves in this mess. They sinned. I didn't do anything. Remember, I'm perfect. He could have said that. But no, in his infinite grace, he humbled himself and paid for what we deserved. We started it. We did start it with our sins, but he finished it on the cross with his humble grace. Most tension in relationships have to do with our ego and pride. Think about it. When we're really angry at someone else, it's usually because someone has stepped into our, you know, our self-made kingdom that we kind of have kind of set up for ourselves. And they've evidently not gotten the memo that hey, this is my space, and you can't be coming into my space and blaming me for things or asking me to do things. I'm fine in my own little kingdom. And we'll get easily offended and defensive and refuse to apologize or say that we're sorry, because after all, it's their fault for coming in and interrupting what I was doing. It's them. It's none of their business what I'm doing here in my kingdom. How dare God's word come in and say what you're doing is wrong? So we blame the other person, or we blame God, and we get angry and stuck in. But you know what? Humans have been pointing fingers at other people since the beginning of creation, haven't they? You know, in the garden when the first sin occurred, Adam said, oh, it's Eve's fault. And Eve said, oh, it's the snake's fault. But Jesus taught that the things that we say and do when we're wronged or offended are not someone else's fault, but instead are a result of what's inside of our hearts. Luke 6:45 records Jesus as saying, a good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. What you say flows from what is in your heart. Relationship stress is ultimately a battle within our hearts. James 4:1 says, what is causing the quarrels and fights among you? Don't they come from the evil desires at war within you? So the next time you're angry with someone, the next time there's, you know, a disagreement in a relationship, check your heart. Better yet, ask God to check your heart. There's probably going to be some pride or ego hanging out in there, telling you that the other person doesn't deserve forgiveness, saying that you are right and they are definitely wrong. Because I'm not wrong about anything, right? It's sinful. We must ask God to forgive us for our pride, and then we must offer forgiveness or extend an apology to the other person. Ephesians 4:32 says, instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Forgive not because you feel like it or because they even deserve it. Forgive because you have been forgiven of your sins toward God. In order to have a healthy relationship with God and others, we must exit this throne of this self-kingdom that we have set up and instead let God rule every area of our heart. We must be humble. We must forgive. And that word humble, I think, I don't know, I must confess, I don't know the what women want, you know, mindset. I don't know what women always think about. But I know that guys in particular, at least for myself, that humility is not something that comes easy. It's not easy to humble myself. I always want to defend myself. I always want to explain why I was right. And so I would encourage you guys especially to really ask God to help you, as I ask God to help me in that area. The third area that can help us to have healthy relationships is to be quick to pray. 2 Corinthians 10:5b says, take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. We have got to be constantly checking in with God about our thoughts, about our thought life, taking captive thoughts that are wrong or sinful, but also telling him what we're thinking or feeling, and asking for his Holy Spirit to help us to think rightly, to think obediently, and probably to think rightly about other people. This is part of what we do when we pray. Prayer is really just acknowledging and showing dependence on God. David wrote in Psalm 42:1, as the deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, O God. When it comes to your relationships, do you long for God to be present in those relationships like a deer longs for water? I had a meeting just recently that had been really weighing on my heart, and it was fast approaching, and I really felt a lot of, I don't know about stress, but just I felt pressure, because this was one of those meetings where this is a relationship issue here, and it could be a difficult thing to overcome if we don't resolve this in this meeting. And I've been spending time in God's Word, and I've been really trying to check my heart to make sure that I was going into this conversation with a humble heart. And I was also spending time in prayer and asking others to pray for me. And I realized that unless God helped me, give me the words to say, I was probably going to say something, my ego was going to come out, or my pride, or my snap, just my initial reaction was going to ruin an opportunity for a healthy resolution. So I prayed. And I had to constantly check my thoughts for this meeting because things would creep up like, oh, you know, but they're wrong. And I had to say, but God, bring my thoughts back to you. And it was shortly before the meeting, and I was sitting there, and my kids happened to be nearby, and I asked a couple of them, I'd never done this before, but I just said, hey, can you guys come over and just pray for me? Jack, do you remember praying for me? Yep, you and Nolan. And in that moment, I wanted my kids to see my dependence on God in that, because, and it was good for me to have them pray for that Dad doesn't have everything figured out. That sometimes I'm scared about relationships too. Maybe it isn't a stressful meeting for you, but maybe it's a job with difficult coworkers, or maybe it's your home with your teenage kids or with your spouse. Or maybe it's at school with that one teacher that you just don't get along, or maybe it's with the bullies that are present in your life. Pray about your situation and depend on God to come through. Check your thoughts toward others and ask God to help you think rightly about the other person or about that relationship. Let others share with you in prayer, because when we do that, it's a great opportunity for us to be a testimony to others that, man, we don't have it figured out. We have to rely on God. The fourth principle that we can learn from the Bible about encouraging healthy relationships is this: to seek out godly wisdom. Proverbs 12:15 says, "The way of fools seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice." Now, I already talked about the important advice that we get from the Word of God, but this is a little different. This principle involves seeking out those people you have or need in your life who can speak godly wisdom to you. The verse from Proverbs says it is wise to listen to advice. And again, this advice, this reference is not, you know, a popular magazine, you know, advice column, or it's not an entertainment blog or whatever, wherever people go in this world to find advice. But rather, this is advice of someone who knows and loves God deeply. Seek out a Christian friend that's further along in their faith or more mature and listen to their advice. Wise, godly people should always and will always lead you back to what God says about the situation, not just their opinion. And they'll pray for you, and they'll pray with you. And I've had the opportunity from some of you sitting in here that have prayed with me during difficult times. Let that advice guide your behavior and words in your relationships. If you don't have someone like that, find someone. If you need some help in finding that person, come and talk to me or to Sheila or to Kirby. As I close today, the things that I've covered isn't the definitive list on healthy relationships. But I want you to think about your current relationship landscape. Think about your relationship with God. Think about your relationship with your family. Think about your relationship with your coworkers, with your classmates, or with your teachers, or with your students, and ask God to nudge you toward at least one of these. Nudge you towards at least one of these principles. And maybe for you, you just need to start reading and engaging with God's Word intentionally. And I want to emphasize again, it takes intentionality. Maybe you need to be less defensive and more humble in your interactions with your family, or with your coworkers, or with your neighbors. Maybe you need to say, I'm sorry for an attitude or words that you've spoken towards someone, or maybe you need to forgive someone that has really hurt you. Maybe you need to be quicker to go to God in prayer and to recognize your dependence on him in the good times as well as the bad times of your relationships. Maybe you need to find that person that you can seek godly wisdom from. You need to find a mature Christian believer. Check your heart when it comes to relationships. We've got to fight against the sins of pride, of self-sufficiency, that I can just figure it out, and unforgiveness. Because there is hope for healthy relationships, and it's only going to be found by living out the example that Jesus set for us in forgiveness through his actions and through his words. Will you choose healthy relationships? Will you choose to trust God with your relationships and invite hope back into something that could be broken? I hope you do. And I hope for each of you that you see how God can bring reconciliation, that God can fix those things, and even if you have zero problems in your relationships, that you can trust God even in those moments. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I recognize that I am broken. And Lord, that I desperately need you. And God, I would assume that there's probably at least a few others in this room that maybe feel that way too and know that. But God, the reality, according to your word, is that we all are broken by sin. And Lord, I just pray that you will help us as we navigate through. I hope and I pray that this is not a message that is taken and saying, well, there's all these other things that I'm not doing right, but instead that you will help us as you help me to see that the Christian life is a marathon. It's not a sprint. And so Lord, just help us to maybe get one thing in mind that we can trust you with in our relationships, in our lives. Lord, bring those things to our mind and help us, Father, to trust you with that thing. Help us to be intentional about spending time in your word and about thinking about and wrestling with the things that you ask of us. And Lord, help us to put those things into practice. Help us to be smart builders. And Lord, help us to be an example of what relationships can look like when we invite you into them. Lord, thank you for providing the opportunity for us to have relationship with you through your son, Jesus. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins, for our sins, and giving us an opportunity to fix what's been broken inside of us in the broken relationship with you. And Lord, let us have hope. The hope that you alone can bring. We love you and we thank you for being our friend. In your name we pray.